Hi, welcome to today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You're with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman, and this is going to be the preview episode of the Seahawks and Chargers game this Sunday at CenturyLink Field at 1:05 p.m. But before we get into the preview, before we get into the news of the last couple days, we'll do a quick intro. I am Grant Goldberg. I'm the co-host of this Locked On Seahawks podcast, and I do social media and graphic design work for SB Nation's Lakers site. And Spike is a writer with The Stranger. We are, both excited for this game, but before we get into this preview, like we said, we'll go through some news really quick. And I guess most notably, Brandon Marshall was cut from the team, and I guess I didn't really celebrate it, but I kind of did a woot woot for Spike because he predicted it probably a couple hours before it happened. So Spike, you predicted the Brandon Marshall cut, so I'm expecting you to correctly predict this game for the Seahawks this Sunday.
Yeah, 100%. Once you get one thing right, you start getting everything right. Hot hand theory. Hot hand. I'm Steph Curry over here. No, the Marshall thing, he was down to two snaps last week. Wasn't being used a lot. Too many drops for a veteran like that who's not contributing on special teams. And you could just hear in Pete's voice that, like, the Brandon Marshall situation was sort of over. And that's, it's a bummer for him because we cut him right as it was like, oh, the Seahawks have literally just a tenth of a percent, over 50% chance of making the playoffs. It's like, well, then Brandon Marshall's got to go.
Yeah.
Which is, of course, the trajectory of his career, that he's probably the best wide receiver to never make the playoffs in NFL history, which is a pretty ignominious situation to be in for such a good guy. So it's sad for him. And they left open the possibility that they'd re-sign him if other stuff shakes out in a certain way. I'd be surprised. I don't know, though. I don't know if he's going to hook on with another team or what the deal is. But, yeah, certainly in this case, no more Brandon Marshall on the Seahawks, which means probably a healthy dose of David Moore, which is great because he's been playing out of his mind.
Yeah, Moore's been fantastic. And this Brandon Marshall situation's kind of been a roller coaster for Seahawks fans. When he was first started, I don't know if anybody really loved the move. It was good to take a flyer, or some people thought it would fizzle out or really not get out of the gates. But he had a really strong preseason. He showed some chemistry with Russell Wilson. He was a, I wouldn't say super reliable receiver, but Russell Wilson, he was his go-to guy out of that receiver group when Doug Baldwin was hurt. But he proved that he couldn't catch a pass later on the season and really couldn't see the field. And so this really doesn't come as a surprise, but we're gonna give a pat on the back for Spike for calling the shot on that one.
Thank you.
But in terms of other roster news, the Seahawks should be getting linebacker Michael Kendricks back for the Vikings game. He can rejoin the team November 12th for practice. But for official game action will be that Minnesota Vikings game. I believe it's on Monday Night Football at home. And so it's going to be important down the stretch, especially if they're jockeying for a playoff position, getting another guy who can kind of do it all in terms of linebacking, but isn't really a super standout at one thing. It's great to have that depth, especially going into the postseason if the Seahawks do find themselves in position to make the playoffs.
Michael Kendricks is really, really good.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we should forget that. Like, Michael Kendricks is arguably as good as KJ Wright. Like, on a neutral field, if they both know the scheme equally well, they are comparably next-level Pro Bowl-caliber linebackers. And so having him coming back for those last three games is crucial, especially that Vikings game. Now, mind you, KJ Wright's healthy now, so it isn't that monster upgrade over Austin Calitro and Shaquem Griffin that we were getting for those couple games where we had him earlier this year. But it's still potentially really big. If there is an injury in the linebacking core, that'll be huge. And that Vikings game, to me, I've got it circled right now as the game that will likely, it's sort of the linchpin game for the Seahawks season, comes really late. But as we've discussed a bunch, we've got three games against bottom three by DVOA teams in San Francisco and Arizona, and neither of those teams projects to get way better. Obviously, Arizona could get a little better. They've turned over their offensive coordinator. Josh Rosen's going to get better. San Francisco's sort of stuck in the C.J. Beathard quagmire with a B-minus, no, not even B-minus, D-plus defense. So there are three wins. But then we have six really difficult games. We probably need to win three of them to make the playoffs. That Minnesota game is of those difficult games. That is the team with by far the lowest DVOA. It's a quarterback we've beaten before, but also lost to before in Kirk Cousins. It's a team that obviously we've played a ton of like really hotly contested games against, including that playoff game 2 years ago. And so that one to me feels like one that we're going to have to win. Because, man, of those other six, four are the top four teams in DVOA as of this week. Carolina, Los Angeles, other Los Angeles, and who's the fourth? Come on, what's happening in my brain right now? Who's the fourth team?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Kansas City.
Yeah,
so we have to play all four of those teams. If we can pick up one win against them, beat Aaron Rodgers on some fluky crap, and then beat the Vikings with Michael Kendricks back, we're in the playoffs, baby! So, you know, big comeback for Michael Kendricks, big Michael Kendricks news.
Yeah, definitely. And, before we look ahead to the schedule later on the season, it is tough, and the Seahawks are going to have to have some really great performances to get those wins. They got the Chargers right in front of them. It's a great team over in Carson. And so we have a big test on our hands. I talked a little bit with the Locked On Chargers guys, and I'll start off. We'll talk about the Chargers offense versus the Seahawks defense, and the thing that I'm looking at is the Chargers passing attack, because they can hit you at all levels of the field, in the flats with Melvin Gordon, down the field with Tyrell Williams, a big go-up-and-get-it guy and Mike Williams, and then this is a guy who can do it all, a great possession receiver in Keenan Allen. And so they can stretch you every which way on defense, with their really talented group of receivers and Melvin Gordon, who looks like he's going to play on Sunday. So, yeah, the test for me, and we talked about it a little bit before we took a break on, I believe, Tuesday, is that, Tedrick Thompson's going to have to have a really good game. He's going to have to keep the lid on the defense and be a really consistent tackler. And so, especially against a guy like Tyrell Williams, I'm saying, who's an absolute burner, that's going to be really important. And I think that, his performance is going to be, sort of the glue for this secondary going into this game against the Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, Philip Rivers is playing absolutely out of his mind. The Chargers' O-line is better than it's been in years past. And our pass rush is not what it's been in years past. So we can't count on that to win the game for us. And, man, Philip Rivers is, and we talked about this before this week, but he has gashed Pete Carroll's defenses.
Yeah.
This is one of the teams that Russell Wilson has not beaten. We have not beaten this Chargers team. And they are better than they have been, especially on offense. You talked about the variety of weapons they have. It's sort of like the Seahawks, but it's like in that they've got three really good receivers, and yet like none of them are producing consistently every week. Keenan Allen's having a down year, sort of akin to what's happening with Doug Baldwin statistically, but in terms of the overall mesh of what they're doing, the attack is really dangerous, which I think you're right. It's going to fall on the safeties and linebackers because, it's not just about shutting down one guy, throwing Shaquille Griffin on a dude and challenging him. And I think the other big thing is Rivers is so good at hitting guys in stride that the Seahawks tackling is going to have to be A+. And we've seen Tedrick hit hard, but he's also missed some tackles. And we've seen Justin Coleman miss some tackles this year. And those are two dudes for me because they're going to be in the middle of the field. We got to stop the yak. And we know that KJ Wright being back is really huge for stopping yards after the catch. But Tedrick and Coleman are the two vulnerable guys in terms of tackling all year this year, and we need to see them bring their A game. We cannot be giving up, gross first downs where Rivers hits a guy short of the sticks in stride and is going to count on him to pick up that first down. Like, they're really good at that, so we're going to have to out-execute them this week if it's not going to be a really, really long day for our defense. And the last thing I'll say is, our pass rush has been better, but it still ain't deep. And it could be the sort of thing where this game gets frustrating late because of that, because they're going to put these long drives together. If we don't tackle well, the burden is going to fall on our pass rush, who could wear down over the course of the game. So our linebackers and safeties and slot corners are going to be who keeps the pass rush fresh, because we don't have the rotational guys to bring in like we have in years past.
Definitely. I was just about to mention the pass rush in that, you know, they have to have a sort of relentless motor this game against the Chargers. Yep. Because Phillip Rivers has a knack for extending plays. He has a knack for improvisation. And so, you know, there's not a single second where they can take a snap off. And so, yeah, the pass rush has to be relentless. It has to, you know, keep going, keep driving. We've seen Frank Clark have dominant games. We've seen Deion Jordan make an impact when he's healthy. And then Jerron Reed disrupting from the inside. And so, you know, having a good performance from those three guys will definitely help the Seahawks. But there's definitely not a moment where they can just, you know, put their hands on their hips and kind of let Phillip Rivers sit and have some time. And as important as it is for the Seahawks tackling to be consistent in Justin Coleman and Tadrick Thompson, it's important for Delano Hill not to see the field. And I think I think that, you know, it's you know, imperative, or it's definitely important for Bradley McDougal to be healthy. He had a couple rest days in practice this week, so, you know, hopefully he's gotten over the illness that he had in Sunday's game against the Lions. And he's able to play a full game, and Tadrick Thompson, too, able to play a full game. And so they don't have to put Hill on the field because, you know, not to, you know, just completely bury the student, pile on, but it's a completely different defense. Offense is just gash the Seahawks when he takes the field, whether it be, you know, him tackling or him in coverage. It's just not a winning formula for this defense. And so, yeah, it's...
He's been subbing in all year for... He had to sub in for Earl earlier this year a little bit, and he subbed in for Bradley. And it's just bad. And, like, you know, those are two tough sets of shoes to fill. But we've seen Tedrick do an okay job. He's kept the system intact. And you're just right. Hill hasn't been able to keep the system intact. And I'd rather see Shalom Lawani hit the field. Like, let's just get a dude headhunting at a certain point. Let's bring in, a multiplicity copy of DJ Swearinger. Or whatever Shalom Lawani is, rather than this Hill situation, which just isn't functional.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I like the Swearinger comp for Lawani. But yeah, I think that's a good point to stop right now. We'll take a break. We'll come back talking Seahawks offense versus Chargers defense. It's going to be a great game. I think on both sides of the field, it's going to be very exciting to watch. And so stay tuned for more Locked On Seahawks on the Locked On Podcast Network. Isn't it crazy how much we pay for new clothes?
It's crazy!
Crazy. You know, why do we buy new kids' clothes if they just outgrow them in a few months? And I have a niece. She's grown like crazy. And we buy her new clothes all the time. And so it'd be great to, you know, discover a place where you can find awesome discounts on gently used clothes. And, you know, that place exists. It's swap.com. It's the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. It saves you the time and effort from driving from store to store, sifting through racks. You can easily sift through millions of clothes in seconds on swap.com with easy-to-use filters to find just what you need. Over 14 million tons of textiles are wasted every year. You know, shopping at secondhand on swap.com helps prevent textile waste from polluting the environment and polluting your closets. Which is something that you can feel good about. You know, swap.com is obviously, you know, the largest online consignment and thrift store, like I had mentioned. And, you know, in that, you're able to find, you know, great name brands like Lululemon, Carter's, Nike's, J.Crew, and Gap. And you can save up to 90% on those. And so, you know, every item is quality and hand-inspected, and they're added daily. Now, and if something doesn't fit, you can enjoy hassle-free returns within 30 days. Now, we have a special offer for our Locked On Seahawks listeners. You can get 35% off select items on your first order with the promo code Locked On. So you have to go to swap.com and use the promo code Locked On to receive 35% off of select items on your first order. And on top of that, you can find new deals every day on swap.com's homepage. So yeah, definitely use the promo code. It's Locked On for 35% off select items on your first order with swap.com. All right, and we are back with some more Locked On Seahawks on the Locked On Podcast Network. You are still with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman, and we are going to talk about this, now, dare I say, Seahawks offensive juggernaut? No, I'm kidding. But we're going to talk about the Seahawks offense going up against the Chargers defense, which is another great matchup, opposite sides of Seahawks defense versus Chargers offense. I think that Russell Wilson, he definitely needs to keep up this hot play. His decision making has been great. His accuracy has been, you know, on point. He's had a really extraordinary amount of time to throw the ball with this offensive line. Granted, the level of competition has not been, you know, great between the Raiders and Lions, but you know, it's been a great couple of weeks for Russell Wilson when the Seahawks have taken the field. And I think if the Seahawks want to win, it's going to be on his shoulders, on top of this this running game, to secure the W against the Chargers.
Yeah, I like the idea that we're like, Seahawks offensive juggernaut. They're like 18th in DVOA. And we're ooh, still a lot of questions about the Seahawks defense that is number 2 in DVOA. Like, and I get why that is. And it is, the difference in level of performance. Like, you can just see this offense really growing week to week. And also this defense, you know, they're still missing all those guys. And so it almost feels impossible. And also just defense everywhere is bad. And there's a trend this year where good offenses go up against good defenses and good offenses win. Kansas City did it. New Orleans did it, where it was a 1-1 situation. This, I believe, is 3-2 in terms of Chargers offense versus Seahawks defense. We're not talking about that, though. We're talking about 18-15 or whatever is happening over here. And I think that Russell Wilson is going to be in good shape this game. I mean, we've seen Derwin James be very good and very opportunistic at the safety spot, but we've also seen these Chargers corners take a step back from their performance last year. Casey Hayward was a borderline all-pro last year. He's been fine this year, and nobody else has been at that level for them in the cornerback position. And our receivers, as we've talked about time and time again, are just getting better every week. The offensive line, just getting better every week. It looks like Joey Bosa won't play. Melvin Ingram will play. That's one test on the edge. But, I mean, look, our tackles have been playing really well. Dwayne Brown is a borderline all-pro. And Jermaine Ifedi, you know, has been getting the game ball week after week just for not sucking. And so, you know, like, that's important. It's important to not have holes. And that's what's exciting about the Seahawks offense in a lot of ways is you look at it, and whereas over the last couple of years, there have just been holes everywhere, you look at this offense now and you're like, wow, where's the hole? Especially in 11 personnel. Like, David Moore's not a hole. You know, Jer Sweezy's not a hole. Ed Dixon's not a hole. Chris Carson's not a hole. It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, I really, really like that. We have to, you know, have a qualifier for Jermaine Ifedi for getting the game ball, and that's just not sucking. But no, he's been a really important piece for the offensive line. We've talked, you know, week after week that, you know, just having no hole on the offensive line just allows them to gel so much better because they're not making up for one other guy on the line.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's been really important for him to be good. And in doing that, in not sucking, it's allowed Russell Wilson to take his game to another level. It's allowed his receivers, who, like you said, have looked better game after game, and they just, you know, find, you know, opportunities against defenses. I think they, you know, whether it's waiting it out and then finding their deep shot, or, you know, finding soft spots and zones, I think they've all done really good jobs of, you know, finding the right opportunities within the game. And, you know, I think that we should definitely talk about the running game too, because, you know, it wasn't a benchmark game against the Lions, but we saw a really consistent game from Chris Carson throughout probably three quarters, and then, you know, he started to kind of tire out, and they were kind of just running him up the middle and kind of stalling out. But, you know, we've seen Carson as such an explosive runner Throughout his time, earlier in 2017 in the preseason, and then in those first couple of games, and then this season, he's been incredible with that. But I wanted to talk about his patience as a runner because that is so important. And mixing with this line, he's allowing the guys up front to get a great push and then find where he wants to run, or even during the middle of the game where he's just deciding where to make his cut and where to really hit the gas and use that explosive athleticism to kind of go downfield. We haven't really seen that really explosive play where he goes like 60 yards down the field, but we've seen these great 10, 12-yard runs where he's just dragging guys past the first down markers and moving the sticks for the Seahawks. So Chris Carson, I think we should expect another consistent game for him, and Mike Davis too. He's been really great. He's been picking his spots, and it's just been a really good fluid runner. So I'd expect another good game from the Seahawks running backs this week against LA.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I didn't look this up, and I'm not going to look up now what the Chargers' run defense is ranked. But I don't think of them as being a dominant unit. Their two losses this year to the Chiefs and Rams against very good running backs who hit them hard. Now, mind you, that could just have been game flow. This is an opportunity again for Shoddy to cook. Brad Schottenheimer's going to cook up some run action and some play action, and that's just the life we're living now, and it's a good life. I was calling for Brian Schottenheimer to be fired after 2 weeks, and it looks like, I don't know that I was like wrong per se, I don't know if I want to admit that I was wrong, but like he's fine. I'm not like worried about our coaching right now. Obviously Pete Carroll's doing an incredible job on the defensive side with Ken Norton, but like I'm fine with how this offense is playing right now. That's weird to say and think.
Yeah. It's definitely, I feel like we're in like the Twilight Zone or like a bizarro world, because there hasn't been really any complaints with Brian Schottenheimer throughout the past couple weeks. And that may be due to level of competition and the guys on the offense just winning out. But his play calling hasn't been a disaster, which is crazy. And while you were talking, I was looking up the Chargers rush defense, and they are 16th in the league, and
that sounds totally right.
And the Seahawks are 17th. And so they're neck and neck.
Yeah, no, it's just an average unit. And like the Chargers are very good. They are very good. There's a reason why they are, third in DVOA overall. But it ain't their run defense, so I'm not worried about Shoddy running into a brick wall over and over again. Like, I feel like we're going to run the ball against good run defenses as if they're bad run defenses. Like, they're not going to change the game plan based on what our opponent's good at, and that'll be frustrating. This isn't that game. This isn't that week.
Yeah. The Chargers shouldn't prove to be the team that knocks Brian Schottenheimer back to reality concerning the running game.
Brian Schottenheimer, 100% his favorite rapper is Eminem.
Oh my gosh. He's a big Macklemore guy. Yeah. Maybe Macklemore is the reason why he chose the Seahawks.
No, I don't know. I feel like Macklemore is a little too liberal for Brian Schottenheimer. You know what I mean? I guess, yeah. Eminem is. Maybe they just... Schottenheimer's a Post Malone guy.
I just feel like...
He doesn't want to bring politics into his flow.
I just feel like Brian Schottenheimer's still listening to the Thrift Shop.
Yeah, well, hey, man, he shouldn't. He should not be going to Thrift Shop. He should be buying his used clothes on swap.com. Come on, Schottenheimer.
That's true. One final note before we take the final break. the Chargers have allowed 3 rushing touchdowns this season. The Seahawks have allowed 4. But I'll put an asterisk by it because they've allowed 1 touchdown to any running back not named Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley had 3 touchdowns against the Seahawks, so that number's a little skewed.
Well, I wonder how many of the rushing touchdowns that the Chargers have given up were to Todd Gurley as well.
Oh, you know what? That's a great point. I'll have to look that up. But we'll take a short break and then come right back with more.
We'll come back with that Todd Gurley facts. Todd Gurley facts, generational talent fact hour.
Oh my gosh. Shout out to Ben Baldwin. Shout out to anti-run Twitter. We'll take a quick break and come back with the rest of the show. We'll predict this game and think who we want to win, who we think is going to win. Stay tuned for all that. Locked On Seahawks on the Locked On Podcast Network. And we are back with the final portion of today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are still with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. And Todd Gurley had one touchdown against the Chargers on the ground. Thank you, Google, for providing that quick stat. But we're going to get into predictions. We're going to get into why we think the game is going to play out the way we think we do. I'll start it off. I talked with Locked On Chargers this week, and I think that the Seahawks will win this game. I know it's going to be a tough game, and I don't know if you share the same opinion that I do, Spike, but I think it's going to be a really, really close game, and I think the Seahawks are going to pull it out by a score of 34-31. It's going to be a really close game. We're going to be sweating it out, but I think the Seahawks will be able to hold on and win this game.
So something I saw that was interesting to me is the over-under on this game is 48, and that feels low, given how these offenses are playing right now, and as we said, the success offenses have had against defenses. The line is 1.5. The Seahawks are currently favored by 1.5, which suggests that on a neutral field, they'd be 1.5 underdogs to the Chargers, which doesn't really feel like enough, honestly. The Chargers are real good. And I guess it's just, like, hard for me to wrap my brain around how good the Seahawks defense is. Even as someone who watches them every week and talks about them incessantly and writes about them, it still, like, feels wild to me that a defense with Tedrick Thompson and Trey Flowers and Shamar Stephen is doing what it's doing. But it is. And so I'll just say, like, I feel like people are going to pound the over on this game, right? At 48, you're going to pound the over. But I feel like Vegas is baiting people in a way, which means I think this game is going to hit the under. And, like, can the Seahawks win this game, like, 23-21? Like, is this the sort of game where the Seahawks get, like, a 7-point lead early and just, like, are able to run the ball and grind the clock and kick field goals and, like, win the game that way? And I'm sort of like, yeah, maybe. So I'm going to go 23-21 Seahawks. I'm going to have them covering the spread by half a point. So, and I'm going to have the under hit, which I feel like is weird given how much I respect Phillip Rivers. But I'm still saying Phillip Rivers is going to get 3 touchdowns. Like, I don't think Melvin Gordon's, if he's coming off an injury, Seahawks rush defense has been really, really good. I don't think they're going to get a ton on the ground. I think we're the second best run defense in the league right now to Washington. And so I think, like, Phillip Rivers is going to get his. He's going to have 275 yards and 3 touchdowns and, like, maybe only 1 turnover. And we're still going to do enough to win this game. So that's where I land. I don't know.
Yeah, I think in certain spurts, the Chargers are going to be able to put up points. And it's going to be super annoying during the game because we're going to see, like, Tedrick Thompson take one bad step, and then the Chargers just go downfield and score a touchdown. And so I don't know if it's going to be the game where the Seahawks can take the lead and then really rush the ball and bleed out the clock. I think that the Chargers, if they're going to put up points, they can do it both ways. They can do it, you know, by, you know, taking, you know, short, you know, passes down the field, runs down the field. But I just kind of get the feeling that if they're going to put up points, it's going to be stretching the Seahawks defense, which is crazy to say given their solid performance in the secondary over these last few weeks. And so,
no, but for sure the Seahawks secondary is what is vulnerable against the Chargers offense.
Yeah, because it's the Chargers offense's biggest strength. And so, yeah, I think that it's going to be a really close game. I think that Russell Wilson's playing really well. I think that the consistency out of the receiver group and tight end group, for that matter, has been really, really good, and we'll be able to exploit this Chargers secondary. It's going to be a really close game. It could go either way, but I'm going to give the nod to the Seahawks because I believe in our team, and it's the Locked On Seahawks podcast. Come on, it's not the Locked On Chargers podcast. And so,
no, it's not.
It's really not.
Although we are both in Los Angeles, which people forget somehow less often than people forget that the Chargers are in Los Angeles.
Right. I almost called them the San Diego Chargers on the last episode. And the Locked On Chargers guys love that. They're like, no, please call them the San Diego Chargers. Have them manifest that into that actually happening. But no,
You know what? I hope. So we said all this is going to be close, blah, blah, blah. I hope that what happens is Frank Clark hits Phillip Rivers so hard that the team has to move back to San Diego. That's what I'm actually rooting for.
Yeah.
I don't know how that would work. I don't know if there's like a lease clause where it's if Frank Clark hits Phillip Rivers, like, and you measure it through like force and newtons or something. Like, I don't know what that measure is, but I'm sure it's in there. And so let's hit Charters so hard they have to move back to San Diego. Let's do everybody a favor. Get the Chargers back home. LA, the Rams, LA is like vaguely embracing the Rams. Yeah. Nobody cares about the Chargers here. Nobody even remembers the Chargers are here. I live in LA. Grant lives near LA. He lives in LA. I'm just shots fired at Simi Valley. But nobody talks about the Chargers in this city. It is wild. So we got to send him back to San Diego. We got to send him back with a big loss.
Yeah, yeah, definitely agree on all the points. And, yeah, hopefully the Seahawks make a lot of good plays, make a lot of big hits on Phillip Rivers. So he has to move back to San Diego. But, you know, mainly, you know, what's in front of them is winning this game. So if they get to Phillip Rivers and they hit them, then they'll probably win this game. That's what I'll say.
He's got a lot of kids too, so you know, you don't want to you don't want those all those mouths to feed.
Is it still true that he drives from San Diego to Carson?
I believe it. I mean, again, if you're as persistent as he is in having children, you'd be that persistent in how you drive. I think that we can all agree.
Phillip Rivers is a stubborn man. All right, so we'll tie things up. And we'll I guess stop the show now. I don't know, but
yeah, it's over.
Thank you guys for listening, especially past this last point in the show. We definitely appreciate every review you guys leave. Go to iTunes, leave a 5-star review.
Oh, we got a question. Oh, we'll get to that question next week. We got a question on Twitter that I totally forgot. We will get to your question next week. On just a random Monday or something, and I'm
right.
Sorry.
And we'll be able to build around that because this was a preview show. So yeah, thank you for sending in questions. Leave your questions in a 5-star review. Let us know what you're thinking on Twitter. You can reach both of us at our names, Grant Goldberg, Spike Friedman, and the show's Twitter is Locked Seahawks. Useswap.com. And listen to other shows on the podcast on the Lockdown Podcast Network. There's a lot of great shows. There's a lot of great guests on Locked On NFL.
NBA, man. Locked On NBA stuff has been really, really good so far this year. So if you are an NBA fan, it's a good place to go and listen to stuff about your team or Locked On NBA generally.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So, I don't think I missed anything, Spike. Do you have anything to close the show with?
Nothing. Win. Just win, Seahawks. If they win this one, man, ooh, buddy. This would be a big one to pick up.
Yeah, I wish the Chargers were in the NFC so they could just get that leg up on their competition. But they're in the AFC, and so this is just going to be a big statement win.
Man, I don't wish the Chargers. The NFC is already too good. The AFC has nobody. Keep the Chargers in the AFC, Grant. Come on.
All right. Selfishly, I was saying that for a playoff position. But, you know, we'll get into that next week. We'll talk about playoff position if they win or lose. But, you know, this is the end of the show. So, for the Locked On Seahawks podcast, I am Grant Goldberg signing off.
And I'm Spike Friedman also signing off.